Recording
Okay.
started.
Okay, great. Because we left off last week, we were discussing a major dispute between the Rishonim about what the status of bailus, of ownership, is on something that's prohibited by hanah. If something is also by hanah, does that automatically preclude ownership? Well, do I say no? Not necessarily. Something could be also by hanah, not allowed to, for ritual religious reasons, use it. But in terms of monetary ownership, I can still own it because it's just because it's also by hanah. Why does that necessarily mean that I cannot own it? So that machlokes really began in Maseches Sukkah in our sugya, where the Gemara speaks about not being yaitzed the mitzvah of the esrog of the aminim with an esrog shel orla. It's the first 3 years, so the fruit is prohibited. One's not allowed to be yaitzed the mitzvah of the aminim with such an esrog. Question is, why not? So the Raif had said, because it's not yours, and it's not lochem, and whatever is not lochem is by definition not acceptable. The Ritva disagreed with the Raif and said that cannot possibly be the reason, because who says that just because something is also by no, it's not yours? It's 100% yours, and it's still also by no. So why is the Esrog Shel Orla not acceptable? So the Ritva gives you many, many other reasons, a whole slew of different reasons why an Esrog Shel Orla is not acceptable. Whether maybe there's no shear to it because it's over the shreifa, the Rambam says it's not called a pri. I give you half a dozen reasons why it's not good. But lack of ownership is not one of them. So bottom line is the major machlokes, the Gedolei Rishonim, the Raivin, and the Ritva. Bottom line, do I own something that's also bano or not? Can I have ownership of something that's also bano? So we saw last week a whole series of other possible sugyas. So I want to pick up with that right now and analyze a Gemara that appears in Maseches Bava Kama. Hopefully they sent those who have Gemara Bava Kama with them. It's a sugya that appears in Maseches Bava Kama on the very bottom of Mem Dalet Amud Beis. And this Gemara is going to impact significantly on our entire discussion. So it's the last line, the Gemara on Mem Dalet Amud Beis. Tana Rabbanan, Shor Shehedis. If I have an animal, an ox that killed somebody, we know the halacha is that an ox that killed somebody is chayav misa. That's a shohan nisko. Not only is it chayav misa, but v'loy achlos besor. The Torah says that I'm not allowed to eat, I'm not allowed to benefit, I'm not allowed to use that meat of the ox. It's one of the isuri hanor on the Torah, shohan nisko. So the Brayis says shor shehem is actual enigma. You know, if it hasn't yet had a gemar din, means bezin hasn't yet paskin that it's chayav misa. So then, machra machor on the top of Memhamed Aleph. If I jump the gun and I sell it to somebody, so then technically the mechira is valid because it wasn't yet asibana. Hekdisha muktosh. Or if I makdish it, so technically the hekdish is chal. Shachta v'shecht v'sar mutter. The meat is permissible. Because basically, kol's man that there hasn't been a gemar din yet on the shore, so the isser hanor of shore miskal hasn't kicked in yet. Hechzibah shalom v'spala muchzar. Let's say if I was watching the shore for you and the shore killed somebody and I want to give it back to the mafke, to the owner, I could do something because I'm not giving him back damaged goods. I'm giving him back a shore that's still permissible. But no, suppose now that the psak of Hazen hasn't been issued, so this shore is in pretty good shape. I can sell it, I can eat it, I can mafkish it, give it back to the mafke, anything I can do with it. But everything changes. Mishanik Madino, says the Gemara, the second line of Hamad Al, Mishanik Madino, once there's a Gemar Din, Machro eino machor. If I try to sell it after Gemar Din, forget it. It's not going to happen. The scale is not valid. Hekdisho eino muktosh. And similarly, if I try to be makdish it, it's not going to happen. Shachta b'sar aser. If I shecht it, the meat is aser. And then the Gemara goes into a whole complicated discussion about shomer. We'll leave the part out for now. It is clear from this Gemara that post Gemar Din, but for all practical purposes, the pashtus, the isra hanor, kicks in. Not only am I not allowed to get hanor from it, but I don't have certain rights monetarily to the shore. I can't sell the shore anymore. I can't declare the shore to be hektish anymore. Why not? Why can't I sell the shore? Why can't it be makdish shore? What's the problem? What's the chizaron? What's the problem? Why not? So l'chora, the answer is very simple. I can't sell it. I can't be makdish it. Quite frankly, because I don't own it, because it's not mine. And that's the end of the discussion. So the Ravid would be reading this Gemara and say, of course, what's the Shaila? Of course, you cannot sell something that you don't own. So therefore, according to the Ravid, this Gemara reads like a charm. But what about according to the Ritva from last week? According to the Ritva on Sukkah Lamed Hei, who says that the reason why you're not Yetzer in an Esek Shel Oila is not because it's not yours. That's not the reason. Ritva says there are other tangential reasons why you're not Yetzer, but there's not a chisaron in Bailus because you can own something that's Esek Shel Oila. So according to the Ritva, why is it that Machre and Machre? Why is it that Higdisha and Muktash? Why is all that true? What's wrong? What's the problem? If you own it, isn't it obvious you should be able to sell it? So Rashi, on the spot, the third line to Rashi, Rashi has a very cryptic line, Ein Muktash. Delav Rishusei Demari Koyal Akdushe. If I were translating this Rashi, literally it would come out something along the lines of, it's not in my Rishus, it's not in my possession for me to be able to be Machdash. It's not in my possession in order to be able to sell it. What does that term mean? The Lab Rishusei. Does that mean it's not mine? That's what the rival would probably say. But does that term Lab Rishusei almost conjure up a little bit of a different message? Is Rashi alluding to something a little bit different with that phrase Lab Rishusei? So if you take a look at a sugya a little bit later on in Bava Kamma, it's a sugya that appears on Daf. It's a little bit of Daf Samech Chesma Beis, then it goes on a little bit of Samech Chesma Aleph. So we'll pick it up from, let's pick it up from Samech Chesma Aleph. Gufa. It's four lines from the top. Going back to what I spoke about earlier on. Gufa. Amr Rabbi Yechim. Gezel v'lo nisyashu habaylim, shneim einin yichon lahaktish. If Reuven steals something from Shimon, and Shimon has not yet given up hope. Now, if you remember way, way back, it was a year ago this time. So we spoke about the koach of Yush. If I steal something from you and you're misyayish from it, am I kohen or not kohen? But so Yush hasn't happened. So you didn't even give up hope yet. So now the question becomes, Reuven steals something from Shimon. Does Reuven have the ability to be machdish that item? Does Shimon have the ability to be machdish that item? So l'chor, the answer is very simple. Reuven clearly doesn't. It's not his. He doesn't own it. Can you imagine? I'm going to steal your car and give it as a gift to the Beis HaMikdash. That's absurd. So the fact that Eina Demachdish Dovash Eina Shalom, that's like a no-brainer. I don't need Rabbi Yochanan for that. What I need Rabbi Yochanan is for the second year. Rabbi Yochanan says, Guf from Rabbi Yochanan, Gezel Es Yashu Abaylim, Shneem Eina Chomachdish, Zel Afish Eina Shalom, Zel Afish Eina Bishuso. Neither one has the ability to be Machdish. Not the Ganov, because it's not his, and not the nigdav, or the nigzal either. The one, the victim, the person who it's stolen from, cannot be machdish. Why? It belongs to him. It's a new category of halacha called shelo ve'eino pishuso. Something can belong to you, but it's not pishuscha. It's not in your control. It's not in your jurisdiction. It's not in your possession. It didn't say you don't own it. The nigzal does own it, but it's shelo ve'eino pishuso. And as such, if I have an item that's shalivi and ibishusi, I don't have the koach to be machdish. I cannot possibly be machdish such an item. That can't be a gemara for our purposes. When the gemara goes back now, let's go back down to Daf Mem Hei. When the gemara says that a dovra osub hano cannot be declared to be hektish, cannot be sold to somebody else, did the gemara mean to say that it's eino shaloi? Or did the gemara mean to say almost a newfangled category? It's Shali Ve'eno B'Shusi. And maybe it is called mine. And to make it more relevant for Lubin Ezer, I can be Yaitse, now I'm meeting with it. Because it's called Lachem, but notwithstanding the fact that it's called Lachem, I still can't be Makdash. I can't be Meicharit. Because in order to be Makdash or to be Meicharit something, it has to be both Shali U'B'Shusi. And maybe for some deep, dark secret, Adavar Asabana falls short in terms of qualifying as an Eino B'Shusi. I didn't say it falls short of being called an Shli. It's mine. There's a Ritva speaking, not the right. There's a Ritva saying it's Shaloi, but it's Shalov Eino B'Shusi. So if we want to go down that route, then we have to really, really fine tune what does that concept mean, Allah? What is that category about, Shali Eino B'Shusi? And once we understand what that term means, then we can begin to appreciate is it applicable to a Dover Asabana. So the path that we're about to take is the path of the Ketzos. I put actually two Ketzos on the Memkomos. First, we'll speak a little bit about one of them outside, and then we'll try to we'll get a chance to read parts of the Ketels at least together inside. The Ketels begins a theory. It's going to take us through probably most of the year today. But the Ketels develops a very, very famous theory in Siman Tavav that a Dover Asa Bano is actually in that halachic category of Shaloi Ve'ena B'Shuso. And therefore, it's yours, and therefore you can be Yotei Da'alminin with it. If not for some other technical quirks, it's not a prey, it's Kusum Hatsure, all the reasons that we mentioned before. But there's no chisar, there's no deficiency in the Shalom part. Notwithstanding the lack of deficiency of Shalom, Tachlis, it's still Ena B'Shuso. And as Ena B'Shuso, you still can't be Makdisha, you still can't be Mechir. So what does that mean? What is that, this mysterious category called Shalom Ena B'Shuso all about? So there is a major machlekes rishonim between the Balamor and the Ramban that appears in the fourth track of Bava Kamma. We'll take a look at it inside together. And once we understand this machlekes Balamor and Ramban, we're going to be able to come back to the Ketels and begin to appreciate the godless of this model of the Ketels and maybe even question this model of the Ketels. So let's take a look in the Dapi Harif, the beginning of the fourth track of Bava Kamma. It's on Dapi Yud Chesem et Aleph, the Dapi Harif. Those who have the regular Gemaras with the riff in the back. So the regular Dapi Aruf is Afyut Chesem and Aleph. It's the Balamor and the Mohammed Hashem written by the Rambam. So the Balamor is discussing the intricacies of this rule of Gezel being Shalom Ve'ena B'Shuso, which is preventing the Nigzah from being Makdishim. So let's take a look at the line of the Balamor. It's the fourth line in the Balamor, The low amrin on Ena B'Shuso, b'dovah she'enu misarev halo litnolo. Says the Balamor, Ena B'Shuso means the goslin is not interested in returning the object. Reuven stole my animal, and he's putting up a fight. He's putting up a fuss. He's running away with this with my cow somewhere. I don't know where he is. I got to go find him and track him down. He's misarev. He's refusing to give me back my animal. That's called Shalom Ve'ena B'Shuso. Kol zman that the Gazlan is refusing to cooperate, that's called Shalom Ve'ena B'Shuso. I still said the Balamor. What if the Gazlan comes knocking on my door every Yom Kippur and says, I want to return the object. It's in my barn. Come and get it whenever you get a chance. The barn, the door is open. That's what the Gazlan says. So then the Balamor said, that's called Shalom B'Shuso, the Nigzel. And now the Nigzel has every kliach, has every authority, every ability to be makdish. Comes the Rabban and says, that category that the Balamor just said, Ein halom misarev lahachzir, that is not enough to change the fundamental flaw of Ena B'Shuso. So we take a look at the Mechamis, those eyes. For this, I think even the reading glasses have got to come off. Those who are still able to see the Mechamis Hashem at this late hour of the night. So if we take a look at the line of the Mechamis, see if we can find it. See if we can find the exact line. The first one line is Le'inyon. It's about 12 to 15 lines down or so. It's the middle of the line. The low Zubalvai. That distinction that the Balamor just drew between something that I'm willing to return and something I'm not willing to return is meaningless, says the Ramban. The other guy can be clapping a chait every kid from day till tomorrow. That's still called Ena B'Shuso. Why? It's still stolen. The bottom line is it's still stolen goods. Whether the Gazlan is clapping or chayt or not, it's still stolen goods. So says the Ramban, it's still called Gezel, and Kozman is called Gezel, it's Ena B'Shuso, and therefore the Nigzel cannot be Makdish. So we have a seemingly, almost like a detailed machlekes Balamor and Ramban. At what point do you say something reverts to become B'Shuso of the Nigzel? According to the Balamor, all you need is the cooperation of the Gazlan. According to the Ramban, you need much more than that. You need the actual return of the object. What is the Nekudas of Machlokes? What are they finding about? And why does this seemingly detailed Machlokes impact in our discussion? So the Gedalia Charonim developed the following Chakira. This appears first and foremost in the Sefer Devi Yecheskel. Yecheskel was the one of the in Slobodka right before the war. He has this very, very famous piece, and others are pretty much have all said, pretty much echoing the same idea, but in the Olam Yeshivas, it's known as a piece of the Devi Yecheskel. Yesh Lachor, Yesh Lodun, what's the nature of this category of Eina B'Shuso? What ultimately is responsible for creating this status of Eina B'Shuso that inhibits the ability, prevents the ability to transfer ownership on something? One can understand in one of two ways. Either one can understand that the engine that's driving Eina B'Shuso is almost physical in nature. Namely, you can own something, but you're not in control of it. If you're not calling the shots, then you can't transfer Bibles. You have the ability to have that luxury, so to speak, of transferring Bibles, either to be Makdish, to be Meichet, to be Matana, whatever transfer Bibles is. If you want to transfer Bibles to something, it's not enough to simply own it. It's not enough just that your name is on the title. You have to have control of that item. You have to be in the driver's seat, totally control. If there's something that's detracting from your control, that's a problem. That's not called Bishuso. And therefore, the Baal Mor says, Gezela is a prime example of something that's not in your control. It's not in your control. Kol zman, that the other fellow's not cooperating. The minute that the Gaza is klap nochet and giving you the combination to his barn to get the animal out, so it's back in your control again. Once easy come, easy go. Easy go, easy come. It's back again. So once the gazelle is back in your control, then it reverts to become b'shuso. Once it's b'shuso, you have the ability to be makdish. That's exactly about more times. So what was the Ramban's problem? Why did the Ramban say that's not acceptable? So the Chara says, Divi Yechesk, the Ramban held that the ikuv of Eina B'Shuso, the preventing you from being makdish, is not the physical lack of control, but rather, we know already, when Reuven steals something from Shimon, Reuven gets what's called in Halacha Kinin Gezela. Now, Kinin Gezela does not mean that he gets to keep it. The Chara says he doesn't. Meishon Zeshe doesn't. What Kinin Gezela means is that Reuven develops a certain relationship with this item that has halakhic ramifications. When you steal something, there's a kinyan that transpires. First and foremost, is the hischaivus of onsin. You become chayav to any shape or form, any damage happens to this item, that becomes your responsibility. And even if this item gets hit by lightning, it's your loss. You're worse than the greatest shomer. You're worse than the greatest shoyl. There's nothing could ever get you out of paying for something that was stolen. That chiv achrayis, that chiv einsin, that chiv gomer nashava, that kicks in at the time of gezela, and that is brought about by the principle of a kinyan gezela. To such an extent, the Mishnah says in the seventh parak of Bava Kama, that if I steal something and didn't actually make a kinyan on it, let's say I go into your backyard and I start to lead your animal out, but I didn't actually pick it up, I didn't do hagbah, or I didn't do meshicha chutz to reshuscha, I didn't take it out of your reshus. Doing a meshicha in the reshus of the bialim is meaningless. That's not called the ma'aseh kinyan. And therefore, the Mishnah says that kol zman that I wasn't even magbi, I didn't literally pick it up, or I didn't walk it out into some other area, some more of a public area that is nitan to kinyan meshicha, and now that animal gets struck by lightning, it's not responsible. Because the chiyav achrayas is neveya emanate from the kinyan gezela. And your kinyan gezela, no different than any other kinyan, requires a ma'aseh kinyan. The ma'aseh kinyan is going to be the meshicha gvah, etc. In addition, kinyan gezela also creates and sets the stage for possible future ramifications. Let's say, for example, the gazlan subsequently does a shimi on the item. Say he stole a piece of wood, he turns it into a table. So if he was kinder with the kinyan gezela in the wood, and now he turns it into a table, he doesn't have to return the table. He actually keeps the wood, and he pays the cash value for what it was worth at the time of gezela. That's a heishvus agzela shagozol, and you ain't shagozol yachs v'lav dam v'yamachayev. Those halachas of einsin, hashava, potential ability to be kinder, those are all brought about by the mice kidding gazelle takes place. Says the Ramban, something else happens when the kidding gazelle takes place. A kinyan kishmoy kenu. The kinyan is a transferring of ownership. It's not a transferring of ownership in its entirety. The item, kol zman hashimi, didn't happen. The item still belongs, the ikaron, the title, the name of the title still belongs to the nixon. But something has happened at the time of gezela. And that kinyan gezela that is transferred, those chuyos that have transferred to the gazlan, there's chuyos and chiyuv. Chiyuv may has to pay for anything that happens. The chuyos says he has the ability to potentially kind of with shimi, but it's a kinyan. That kinyan now interferes with the otherwise b'shusu of the nigzal, and that ultimately is the ikur. That ultimately is what prevents the nigzal from being machdish of selling that item. So it's not the fact that it's not in your control. You don't have shlita on it, like the Baal HaMor said. It's the kinyan gezeila shebo'i that creates the status of ein b'shusu. If so, what can unravel the kinyan gezeila? One can undo, what can revoke the kinyan gezeila? There's only one thing alone that can unravel the kinyan gezeila. That's Ha'eshus Zeh Shal Gozel. Until you literally return that gezeila is still called Einu B'Shuso. And therefore, according to the Ramban, the Gazel can be clapping a chet from today till next Yom Kippur, but if he hasn't yet physically returned it, it hasn't entered into the Rishus of the Nigzel, then it's still called the Dabashu Gezeila. And the kinyan gezeila still exists. And Kozban is the kinyan gezeila to the Gazel, and it's called Einu B'Shuso of the Nigzel. So fundamental machlokes by Mordechai and Ramban, again, with a very, very practical mafkamina, if the Gazan is good because the Chuba hasn't quite returned it, is it the lack of control that's ma'akev, or is it the kinyan gezeila that's ma'akev? So we spoke now about a situation where you could potentially have control, but there's still a kinyan gezeila. Let's flip the table for a minute. What are the other way around? Let's reverse the case. What if I have a situation where it's out of my control? I do not have shlita on this item. On the other hand, there's no kinyan gezeila. Nobody has the kinyan gezeila. You know why? Because there were never a gezeila that took place. Nobody ever stole it. So what's preventing me, what's tying my hands from using the object? Why don't I have control? There may be other reasons that are preventing me, other things that are taking things out of my control. What else can be taking something out of my control if not a gazlan? A potsi and chumash. Something's else, subhanahu. The Shulchan Aruch, the halacha, did. The fact that the chayfetz is also about no, and I can't use it if I wanted to because the Torah Kedosh is on my hands. It's like Moshe Rabbeinu says, this is the question, lo uchal oy latzeis levo. Strong, he was in best shape, 120 years old, he was in tip-top shape. What do you mean lo uchal oy latzeis levo? So Rashi brought some shat that says, lo uchal oy means I physically can, but I could brought this as I can, so that's the equivalent if I can't. The Rosh says, I can't go there. It's also, I can't. My feet will not cross the Yarden. I may be in great shape. I may be able to run the marathon, but my feet will not cross the Yarden because the Rosh said no. So when the Torah Kedesh says this fruit is, or the Torah Kedesh says this animal is a shoymisko, the Torah Kedesh says this is this piece of meat and cheese is basal cholov. Lo ochaloid, I can't eat it. My hands are tied. It's ishlita, it's out of my control. Comes the Ketzais and Tzibit Avav and suggests that a dover ha'osabano may very well be something that's ain't a b'shusa shalom. I didn't say ain't a shaloi. I never said that, says the Ketzais. But ain't a b'shusa shalom. Now, l'chora, that categorizing the Ketzais, that a davar asma noah fits the bill of an ain't a b'shusa shalom, that makes a lot of sense according to the worldview of the Baal HaMor. According to the Baal HaMor, that ain't a b'shusa was defined by lack of control, what's the difference whether the Gazlan's tying my hand or the Rebbeinu's tying my hand? But if you go down the root of the Ramban, that all that was preventing something from being in my Rishus is the kinyan gezeila, what in the world have to do with davar asbano? But the Shulchan Aruch stole my cheeseburger from me. There's no gezeila, there's no gas, no kinyan gezeila in davar asbano. So the chora, if you focus, if you emphasize the lack of control, that will lead you down the path of Ketzais. If you focus on the Ramban's lack of kinyan gezeila, the existence of kinyan gezeila, what does it have to do with the davar asbano? Why in the world being categorized as Davar Asbano is beginning to be Shusa? Unless one wants to turn around and say that the Ramban concedes the Baal HaMor. Let's not forget, the original Machlokes was one liner in the Ramban. The Ramban disagreed with the Baal HaMor's emphasis on only control. That's what the Baal HaMor said. Once the control is returned, then the game's over. And the Ramban said, no, Chashrom is not true. Kozman is getting Gezeil, it's still in Bishuso. So we know that the Ramban takes into consideration a Kini Gezeil as the Mafkia of Rishus. We're not sure what the Ramban holds about the other half. Namely, does the Ramban disagree? He disagrees 180 degrees with the Baal HaMor. Baal HaMor says everything depends on control, and the Ramban says it has nothing to do with the control. It's only kinyan gezeila. If that would be true, that wouldn't bode well for the Ketzais HaGedorah. What do I say? No, the Ramban agrees to the Baal HaMor that the Baal HaMor was mechadish that the only thing that matters is the control, and the Ramban says that's one factor. I have another factor. So according to the Ramban, there are two kind of inner issues according to the Ramban. There's the Einu B'Shuso of Kinyan Gezeila, which is even if it's in my control because the Gazan's returning it. because he's ready to return. I haven't done it yet. And then the Ramban concedes as the other kind of Eino B'shuso, namely Davar Asabano, which is Eino B'shuso mitam, the lack of control, even though it's not a chisard of Kinyan Zeilah. So it's unclear what the Ramban would hold about this question. So it's a little bit strange because the Ketzos, like Kolotar, Kulotar, the Ketzos could have told you this about Balamon Ramban in his sleep. Every single line is Balamon Ramban. Somehow, the Ketzos, when he talks about, when he develops his Yesod, that a Dover Asabano is Shalobi and a Bishuso, he's not the Siachis of Balamon Ramban. He doesn't even quote that, by the way, there's Machalik's Balamon Ramban, which may shed some light on his Shaila. He just says in the Yatzmai that it must be that a Dover Asabano falls in the category of being Shalobi and a Bishuso. So back to our story, what the Ketzos basically accomplished was he was able to be Miyashev two things. He's sticking to his position that in Sukkot of Lamed Hay, a Dover Asabano is called yours. He thinks the Ritva is right. He doesn't think the Raya is correct. He thinks the M is Flamiko is like the Ritva. And a Dover Asabano is called Shalom. But then he got stuck with the Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Mem Hay. The Gemara says, you can't be Makdash. Why not? So he had to create a new category called Shalom Vienna Bishusa. But this is not the only Gemara that created a problem for the Ketzos, that created a challenge for the Ketzos. There's another Gemara. Those who are learning with us call it Boker, so we haven't yet really touched this. We barely scratched the surface of this Gemara in one of the early Shiurim. Hopefully we're going to come back to this many, many times over in the morning Shiurim. But we're going to reference it here also because it's also part of the theory of the Ketzos. The Gemara Mesachim Davav Beis tells us a Yesod that Bittul Chametz, if you spoke so much last couple of mornings, Bittul Chametz is great, it's wonderful, it's the greatest thing in the world. It can get you out of by Rabbi Matzah. Just say, Kol Chavir B'Chaviyah Shoyin, it's bottle, you have to be careful of the hour, it's wonderful. One thing says the Gemara, you can't do it, you can't be Mavati Chametz after the Chametz becomes Asabana. Once it's ready Asabana, the game's over. You can no longer be Mavati. Why not? The Gemara says, because it's Einu B'Shusa Shalodom. And what does that mean? So comes the Ketzos and says, it means exactly what I'm telling you. It says the Ketzos, once something is asabana, whatever time that happens, the Hoshah, the Raisa, the Rabbanan, the end of the Sheishos, beginning of the Sheishos, whatever time on the clock in our Pesach, where Chavis becomes asabana, it's Yotzi Mishus Shalom, it's no longer in your Rishus. Once it's not in your Rishus, you don't have the luxury of being Mavatlin. Especially according to the Rishon, we say that Bitlus Mitam Hefker, I understand, I can't mafker it, but I don't own it. So comes the Ketzos and says, what does that mean? It's Einu B'Shusam. It means it's not yours? It is yours. Who says that a Davar Asabano is not yours? It's part of the Ketzos' theory. He says, Al-Kohab, what the Gemara means is, the same way by Shor HaNisko, you can't sell it, you can't be Makdash, you can't transfer ownership on it. Once it's Einu B'Shusam, once it's Asabano, so too, once Chametz becomes Asabano, whatever time in the clock that happens in Erev Pesach, it's Shalom V'Einu B'Shusam. And therefore, it's yours, still not Bishusha in order to transfer, and if you can't be Mavatla. So, if you take a look at the Ketzos, I put two of the Ketzos in the Ramakamos. One of them is the one in Tzibit Tavav. See if we can find the exact line. Ketzos in Sivkot on the page, I'm sorry. I think I put Kal Tovkuf Ayin Aleph on, if I'm not mistaken, the beginning of Sivkot on days. So let's pick it up from the second paragraph on the Tavkuf Ayin Aleph. V'nira bazeh, v'shum divi yisri hano, v'mahani efkero klal. You cannot be mafkir, somebody tells about no. V'chid mechum etzachim, it's a fair issue, Gemara. Pad l'am v'nabat l'bishis, the Gemara says, let's be mafkir l'chom, it's in the sixth hour, we have to tell us about no already. No, the Gemara says, v'shum rav gidol, d'yam akadash, the whole story. Alma l'tab l'nes galam, the Rashi we just read before Mavakam Mem Hay, the Ketzos is showing his Bekiyas across Shas, he's connecting the dots. He dug up a Gemara Pesachim of Zayin, and the Rashi in Mavakam Mem Hay. Bada Musham Shar Niska Mishenigma Dina Machmir Machadish and Muktish Krish Rashi. Eino Muktish the Lab Rishusa Koyal Akdushen. Vim Kain Hudin Afkuren. The same way it's Shalavi and Bishusa vis-a-vis Hektesh and Shalavi and Bishusa vis-a-vis Hefker. Ain't a Bishuso. Ella di Suri Hano, Afa Gabla Bishuso, even though Isuri Hano and not Bishuscha, of a Bible me his slave, you still own them? Nobody says you don't own them, and he has a raya from a rivash to complicate. So we'll leave that out right now. We're going to skip two, three lines down. B'chein kos v'rashva b'chidusha b'rach l'uva gozol. So the Ktzoy says it's a b'fei v'sharashva, you own Yisri Hano. I'll tell you a secret. It's not a b'fei v'sharashva. It's a b'fei v'sharitva. It's the ritva that we've been quoting for the last 2 weeks. The Ktzoy is about to quote this ritva verbatim. It's a chidusha ritva. So in came, what did the Ktzoy call the chidusha rashva? It's not the Ktzoy's fault. For many, many years, mistakenly, the chidusha haritva and sukkah, for some strange reason, were published mistakenly, erroneously, under the name of chidusha rashva. Why that happened, I have no idea. This went on for quite some time, and it took many, many years later until the mistake was rectified, and it was the Chedusha Ritva, we'll call the actual Chedusha Ritva. Those, I don't know whether you have the footnotes in the bottom of the Ktzos and how much of the copy came out, but you happen to have the footnote number 32, who told Sofer, Ketzorach Bama HaRitva, Kayadua, says, as everybody knows, the Chedusha Rashba Sukkah Hema HaRitva. As everybody knows that what appears in the old Chedusha Rashba really none of the Chedusha Ritva. B'chashem now, everything has been rectified, has been corrected. If you buy Chedusha Ritva in Sukkah, you're buying the real thing. You're buying the Chedusha Ritva. So bottom line is, the Ritva says, the Esrog shall oil the Chashim Lachem, Mishum B'Yisle, Bayim B'Avgav D'Yasbano, Ayin Sham. So basically, the Ktzayis develops this Yisayid, that a Dover Asbano is considered to be something that's Shalom, albeit it's Shalom V'Yana B'Shusa. Our breakthrough in the Sugi was, that only seems to make sense because we're subscribing either to literally the Balamor's emphasis on lack of control, or it's possible that the Ramban may have bought into that as well. Rabbi Sai, don't forget, put a little bit in the background, but don't forget what the Ketzel just told us. Ketzel just told us that something that's Eino B'Shuso is still, if not for the external problems of Ksus Mechshira, not called the Priyachi, whatever they are, the fact that something's Eid B'Shuso, that prevents me from being Makdish or Mafkir or Meicher, that does not prevent me from being Yaitzid Al meeting with it. That itself is not a Chisar, that itself is not an ego, that itself does not prevent me from being Yaitzid Mitzvah, because it's still called Lachem. Lachem is a function of Baimus, Lachem is a function of is it Shali or not? Lachem is not a function of Yishusa. That's clear, that's the entire theme of the Ketzos. He quotes the Ritva. That's the Chibzah Ritva. However, we have to take that Ketzos and compare and contrast it to another Ketzos. That was the other Ketzos that I put in the Ramah Kavnis and Simin Reish and Gil. I'll give you a little bit of a background before we get to them and we get a chance to read the Ketzos together inside. Give you a little bit of a background. Everybody knows there's a principle in Halach called Hefker. Yadua, Mishnayis, Gemara, time is third principle in the Imam called Hefker. I can declare my house is Hefker, my animals Hefker, my safety, whatever I agree with Hefker. Hefker, something's Hefker. Who owns the Dovish of Hefker? A strange question. Well, Dovish isn't by definition, it's owned by nobody. That's what I would have said. And the truth is that probably what many, many Rishonim would say. That Hefker, by its very definition, means it's owned by nobody. The minute that I'm Hefker something, it leaves my ownership. Not all that different than the minute that I sell something, the minute I give something with matan, there's a minute I mock or something. There are many mechanisms in Dina Mamunis that can take something out of my Bibles. Hefker is one of them. So the Chayra, once I mock you something, I'm always Bailam on it. It's Bechlal, not mine. It's not Shali anymore. It's Bechlal, not mine. That's the Pasha said. There's a big, big problem. The big, big problem is a Lashon HaRambam. It's a Rambam Hilchos Nedarim. It's a dual problem. Problem number one is, why is this even in Hilchos Nedarim in the first place? And problem number two is what the Ram actually says in Hilchos Nedarim. So if you take a look at the Ketzos at the top of Simin Reish and Gimel and Ketzos Aleph, there's a quote out of Rambam, Hefker is like a neder. The same way if a person takes a neder, then they can't back out. You're not allowed to back out from neder. You're not allowed to back out from Hefker as well. Once you said Hefker, you're bound by words. Now, truth to be told, if you want to quote unquote back out by being zeicha on it yourself, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Once I'm mafkas, I want to go, you know, and go pick it up again. I'm no worse than anybody else. But what I do not have the ability to do is says the Rambam. I can't just simply say, I'm just kidding. I said hefker. I didn't mean hefker. I back out from the hefker. Hefker's bought. No, you can't do that. You know why, says the Rambam? That's the Yachal Devar. Let's think back now from your words. So the Ketzai says that it's off at the beginning of Sibin Reshayim Gimel. Harel Kumanet Shas Lachsma, Lashin Rambam, Mechin Kas Matur, Bain Bach Shikosav, Kosav Rambam, Hefke Real Nedves Lachsma, Perish, Shiachsav Yerb and Yechayzim Diburi. I want to just back out simply with words alone. Can't do that. Can't show a sisi kinyan? Because I didn't do a kinyan. I didn't do a re-kinyan. Ela reyu kined de dechsibe lo yachal devar. Afa pishu yo'atzba yachal lizkizboi. Even though obviously I can be zoichal on it. Zelmi din hefke. That's part of the passion of hefke. Like anybody else can be zoichal on it. Aval lo mitar is chazor. It's not a chazor from the hefke. Says like this. Your name is Supkani. I have the following stuff. The fish of Mavir, the had the also lachsa, ain't no element should have Kunedish as lachsa. The only thing that's preventing me from reversing my chalois of hefker was the Isra of Neder. In Kainira, the hefker ain't no Isa Kinyan. It appears that hefker itself is not a Kinyan. When a mafka is something, it doesn't belong to the new entity called hefker. The Isa Kinyan, my Indian Yadilakan, people like the Kfayatsa Mishusai. If I sell a car to you, I can back out from the sale. I'm a shulman. Once I went through the Maisa Kinyan, you were Maishech, whatever you did, whatever Mashiach, whatever Kinyan, Chalip, whatever Kinyan you did in the car. Once you did a Maisa Kinyan in the car, the game's over. You can't back out from the Kinyan. That's called Gazela. You can't back out from the Kinyan. So if you have to tell me that when a mafka is something, it's a Kinyan, the deeper is a Kinyan. Normally, in America, normally the rule is to sell property for one person to the next, you need a Maisa Kinyan. But let's say, but heck, this, you don't need a Maisa Kinyan. I mean, Rasa the Gavak, just simply being mafka something is enough. So hefker also is chabad dibor. So once a mafker something, if you hold that hefker is a form of kinyan, so it belongs to a new entity of hefker, it's not mine anymore. So what do I need a Ram to tell you a story that you can't be chayzik because the neder was fasfan neder? I can't be chayzik, it's not mine anymore. So it says it's nice to see from here, okay, near the hefker, anyway, it's the kinyan. The ice, the kinyan, my inyan neder, kind of table, the bayatsu bishus, everybody left my bishus. Allah korchach, you see from here, near the hefker, ain't a kinyan. What prevents me from backing out is the almost like religious, like the ritual law of Bal Yachel. I have to be honest. I'm not going to profane my words. But mitam kinyanim nishkin. Bim Kain says it twice. Unbelievable chiddush. Hifki umeis ef shadu shalei yarshim. What if Reuben is mafke something and Reuben dies and nobody picked it up yet? So guess what? It could be that it belongs to the Yorshim of Reuben, even without being Rizaych on it. That the Yorshim of Reuben have a right to say, so the hefka's over, it's gone. If Reuben takes a ned there, his Yorshim will have to fulfill his words. He not him. So the Ketzais is suggesting something very, very mechudish, a brand new way of reading hefker. But again, it's based on Lashon HaRambam. Suffice it to say, not everyone agrees to the choices reading the Ram, but with the Das, is a potentially very, very powerful re-understanding, a mechudishik understanding what Hefker is all about. But then the Tzai gets into trouble. The Tzai says, it would appear from the Gemara that this is not the case. And he makes reference to the Gemara Masech Shabbos. Skip down to the next paragraph of the Tzai, in the bottom of the first column. On the Perkam of the Shabbos of Meshur, Amrusham, Bishabbos, his fellow Jesus, Kalim, the near the Gigas of Kur Mafkalu, near the Hefker Isakin. The Gemara Shabbos that quotes a sheet of Bisham, which have a 19, we don't even paskin line. Bisham holds that just as my animal is not allowed to work for me on Shabbos, my vessels, my utensils are not allowed to work for me on Shabbos. And if I have one of my Kalim working, that's called a violation of the Torah called Shrisis Kalim. We happen to paskin, there's no such thing as Shrisis Kalim. That's why I can set a trap from before Shabbos, even though I see the trap on Shabbos. I can set a Shabbos clock for Shabbos, theoretically, even though the lights are going to go on Shabbos. But to be Shami, those would be Surum Dirai, such as Kalim. We don't pass like that. So the Gemara raises a question about certain kind of Kalim. But even Beishami seem to say, okay, I can, let's say, I can light a candle, have a receptacle, and put some oil in it, light the candle before Shabbos. Why is that called Shabbos Kalim? That receptacle is working on Shabbos, that's Shabbos Kalim. He says, nah, the yon is mafka the kli. It's such a cheap kli. It's a significant kli. The person that mafka is animal. The person that mafka is his lamp. A little cheapy kind of kalim, even Bishami says, are okay, because they're not my kalim, of course, mafka lahu. Says the Ketzayis, but it wouldn't be for Mafka. Nira dehefka yosekinyan. It would appear that once a person is Mafka something, it's not his anymore. It's nikna to the new entity called Hefker. Then ain't of yosekinyan, el mishum nidrai, who the yosel achseva, imkere kati shalayu, mutsuva shrizas kalev. He says, not so simple, not so poshut. He says, based on my theory of Dasim Rambam, my chiddush of Dasim Rambam, that Hefker still belongs to you, it's just as an Issa Chazor and the Ma'ilabas and Hedda Rechel Devaray. But the Karona did a moment, it's still yours. So why is it mutter for me to have something that belongs to me working for me on Shabbos? That's a huge problem. So Ketosa is a very, very serious problem. He tries to go down a path through a Rosh, but Shabbos, we're going to skip that point for now. Now he has another kasha. Let's skip down. Let's get the second column of the Ketos in page Amud Shimon Hay. It's the second column. It's where the skinny lines begin. Another kasha. Had the Amru Perek Belaz the Mila Gabi Tzitzis Hoviyah Laf Kiran. In the middle of a whole complicated story there in Shabbos, the Gemara says that if I have a talis and I'm mafkir the talis, so technically I don't have to put tzitzis on those other talis. It's not mine. The Torah says Ksuscha. Let's say if I borrow a talis, so I don't have to put tzitzis on it. Minatori, it's Rabbanan after 30 days, not for now. But Minatori, never have to put tzitzis on it. It's not mine, it's not Ksuscha. The Gemara says not only if I sell the talis to somebody, not only if I borrow the talis from somebody in my potter, this is not mine. If I'm mafkir a talis, I don't have to put tzitzis on it because it's not mine. It's not ksuscha. Frek the ktsais, he quotes Rashi, because Rashi, nothing but Shu saying, it's not yours anymore. What do you mean? What's that? Hold the phone. What do you mean it's not yours? What do you mean it's not yours? It's only hefker. And hefker, doesn't hefker still belong to you? Isn't the Rambam right? And Hefker's fundamental in Dinim Amnus yours, just as Nisr Chazar Al-Tbal Yachel. So if the Rambam's right, the Ritzayis' theory is right, that Hefker still belongs to you, how come the Gemara says, vis-a-vis mitzvah, somehow you don't have to worry about it anymore? Bein the sugya concerning Shvisas Kelim according to Bishamah, bein the sugya of Tzitzis, in Perkor B'Laz Demila, the Gemara is saying that a dover shall Hefker is not yours. It's Yatzim Rishuscha. Why? According to the Rambam's theory, it's still yours. What do you mean it's Yatzim Rishuscha? What do you mean? It's Shalai. So comes the Ketzayis and says, let's skip down a little bit. The first one lines, Efshar, if you line down, the Efshar line. Did he have Shalai? Become a Kamehna Bishusai. He says, you're right. The Dovya Shalhefker is yours. It's Shalai. The Inu Bishusai. Came to Asam Achsevon. Says the Ketzayis, once I've introduced a new concept called Shalovi and Bishuso, and that's what Hefker is, now all the Gemaras make sense. Now I understand why she says, Kevin okay, Tzitzis don't bother me. So basically, we have a lot of work cut out for us. It's getting late now. We have to hope that she'll pick it up next week. Is that the Ketzayis just invoked the imagery, that category of Shalovi and Bishuso once again. It still seems like coming back to that Gemara of a comment time and time again. He called Yisrael and all that, and now it's in Rishai and Gimel, he's calling Hefker that. And by doing so, he's solving the world's problems. So hopefully that's next week we have to fine-tune, is Hefker really fit that model of Shalom and Mishuso? Does it solve the world's problems? Or does it potentially create a very, very serious new problem for the place? Hopefully that's next week we'll try to finish this point up. Because this is really all going back, all about our sugya. All revolves around our fundamental sugya of Esrog Shalala. Why not yet to be Esrog Shalala? So the right we went down the path of it's not yours. The Ritvar refused to go down that route. If you go down the Ritvar's route, then you're stuck with the Gemara's above the Kabbalah, the Gemara's of Psachim. Psachim came to the rescue, Shalom Yen Mishuso, Palamon Ramban. And now the Ketosis is once again invoking Shalom Yen Mishuso, but his second invoking it is going to potentially cause some more problems and some more complications. Hopefully that's for next week. I'm trying to pick up this. Okay. Wish everyone a wonderful night. Mitchell, we'll see you soon.